You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:55am with Gordon Brown, Stephen Powell and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's a good day to look forward to as well. Day one of the Christmas racing weekend at Ascot. We've also got National Hunt Racing from Uttoxeter, all-weather racing at Newcastle in the afternoon and two all-weather meetings in the evening at Wolverhampton on the domestic front and Dundalk over in Ireland. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is none other than Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Oh, I'm very well indeed, Mark. Very well indeed. I'm not sure whether, as we approach the shortest day, that we should be starting to rejoice, because we're going to turn that corner, aren't we? We're going to leave the doom and gloom of winter behind us and look forward. Just about 10 days away, I think. Well, maybe less even. Yeah. 9, 6, 4, 7 even.
Right. So it's somewhere in that.
I think it's about the 21st of December.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, he was a Scotsman, was telling me that winter starts on the 21st of December. I thought it started on the 1st of December.
I'm not sure.
No.
21st seems pretty late.
It does for me as well.
Yeah. Any weathermen out there?
Or people
at other seasons?
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's the 1st of December when winter officially starts. But anyway, this Scotsman said it was the 21st when it's the shortest day. But I find that difficult. Studio at williamhill.co.uk. If you're listening on the radio, you could email in.
All right. Bit of news, Pimmy, before we move on to Friday's action.
Yeah, go on. You've brought around before Christmas. Is that what you're going to say? Breaking news, ain't it?
No, we're still waiting on that.
Okay.
Gary Moore has decided against supplementing Ahmad for the King George. Obviously, we saw him on reappearance, very keen, very exuberant at his obstacles. I think the King George personally would have been a step too much for him at this stage anyway.
Yeah, more than likely. And to be fair, like you say, he's got that run under his belt now, which will certainly help him. But really and truly, you know, I think they were tilting at windmills if they thought they were going to take a chance with him. And I think they've obviously made the right decision there.
Mm, plenty of water to go under the bridge still before then, although Christmas is creeping up on us. Q-Card 13-8 at the head of the market. Is he the one to beat in the King George still?
Yeah, he certainly is. I mean, you know, his performance last time at Haydock was out the top draw. He loves it round Kempton as well. So, he's a worthy favourite. Thistlecrack, whether he takes his chance, would be interesting. Again, you know, he's taking on more experienced horses for the first time round a sharpish track as well. So that might be a massive learning curve for Thistlecrack. But again, of what we've seen last time out, he's very worthy of taking his chance. Coney Gree ran a blinder in defeat last time out. And again, had a little bit of time to get over that. Shorter strip, fitter for that run. So, you know, he's very interesting as well. And then you've got the Irish Challengers, who, again, you couldn't leave out the equation. So, as you'd imagine, it's looking to be a real Christmas cracker.
Yeah, we've got all that to look forward to on Boxing Day. We've got a big weekend coming up as well with the Long Walk Hurdle at Ascot. A bit of news to talk about with regards to the Long Walk Hurdle. But before we move on to that, Pimmers is going to take us on a trip. He's going to take us on a trip down memory lane. Memory lane is back, Pimmy.
Goodness gracious me. Do you want to dance?
No, I'm all right, thanks.
Okay. Thought it might be nice, though.
No.
Little waltz or something.
Pimmy's going to take us through his favourite memory in the Long Walk Hurdle, of course, with it coming up this weekend at Ascot. So take it away, Pimmy. Plenty of famous winners of the race in the past. Who's your favourite?
Goodness gracious me. We've had no end of winners of the Long Walk Hurdle. We can go back as far as, remember old Floyd, Bradders and Ellsworth teaming up there back in 1990, if you can remember that long ago. Some of you might not even been born.
I was 2 years old.
Yeah, there you go. You won't remember it then. They've had Hebraby and Adrian Maguire and the Duke teaming up there in 1994. Then Carl Lowell and Ocean Hawk, 96 for him and his old ally Twist and Davis. Paddy's return carried those very familiar colours. Norman Williamson doing the steering, and Ferdy Murphy trained that horse there. Then we come into the noughties, or is it the 20s? What is it when it comes to the 2000s?
It was the noughties, yeah.
The noughties. Yeah. We come to the noughties, 2000. You might remember this programme. Sunday night, 8 o'clock, Howard's Way. Jack Rolfe. His boat was called Barracuda.
Yeah.
And that was the horse that lit up the noughties. 2000, 2001, winning it. Terry Duman, the Frenchman, for his father, Francois. Very easy successes. And then 2002, that man McCoy.
Yeah.
He nicked it. He nicked it out of the jaws of Barracuda's clutch because he made every yard of the running on Dino's Beano that day. And your man, to be fair, let him off. Let him get away. Couldn't quite get there. And Dino's Beano, under an inspired then Tony McCoy, now Sir Anthony McCoy,
yeah,
a name change since 2002 for him, got the job done on Dino's Beano. But not to be done. Next year, 2002, three even, the Barracuda was back. In 2004, that man McCoy gets the mount.
Switched allegiance.
Exactly, yeah, and wins on Barracuda. So he won four long work hurdles. It really should have been five, but for McCoy. And the other thing is, the trick question is here. They weren't all at Ascot.
No.
One of those successes was at Windsor.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I can't remember that. I was surprised when I was just looking through there. I was like, oh, yeah, well, rings a bell once you've seen it, but I wouldn't have got it in a quiz question.
No, you wouldn't have. No, you wouldn't have. You wouldn't have got it unless I told you.
Yeah.
There we go. And then after that, we've had My Way to Souls, and we've had Punchestown, Big Books, three successes were fabulous, and Rev de Silva, our very own Andrew Mount's horse, winning it 3 years running from 2012 to 2014, and obviously Thistlecrack last year. Well, he was just imperious, I think is the word, with that performance last year, and he's taking all before him now over the larger obstacles.
Yeah. So there you go. That was a rather thorough rendition of Memory Lane there from Chris Pimlott.
Yeah.
It
brings a tear to the eye. The old Barracuda.
All the way from the 90s to 2015. That's the most in-depth Memory Lane I think we've had so far.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, you never told me to shut up.
I was enjoying it.
Okay,
it's good. We even had a little quiz question in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy days.
So that's another Memory Lane back for another week. And while we're on the subject of the long walk hurdle, we'll just have a little bit of a chat about this year's renewal, Pimmy. You know what I mean, Harry.
Harry.
11 to 10 on the top of the betting, 13 to 2. Alex De La Reggia. I'm going to go with that. 13 to 2. 13 to 2, Lil Rockefeller. Bally Optic, 8 to 1, who's now going to be ridden by Richard Johnson, apparently. Petit Zig, 8 to 1. 12 to 1, Rev de Civilla, who's a three-time winner of the race in the past, as you've mentioned there, Pimmy. 14's Entompo 2. 20, Zarkander. And 33 to 1, our bigger prices for the rest.
Yeah, again, is it one of the better lineups that we've had for a long walk hurdle? I'm not quite so sure, but certainly you know what I mean, Harry. Is a very, very progressive type, and you know, he's a worthy favourite. Market tells its own story as well, really, doesn't it? 11 to 10 and then 13 to 2 the rest of the field. So, you know, I think it's his to lose rather than to win, to be fair. You know what I mean, Harry. And I think he will be difficult to oppose. I'd love, obviously, to see Rev de Civilla outrun his 12 to 1 odds, but whether he's in that frame of mind to be able to do that these days remains to be seen.
He needed to come up fairly soft, wouldn't he?
He would, yeah. He would really. The heavier, the better, really, for him. And that might just give him a little bit of a chance. And obviously, I think Bally Optic, as you say, now going to be the mount of Richard Johnson, could well be a player each way.
But you know what I mean, Harry? Do you think he'll win?
I think he's going to be very, very difficult to oppose.
11 to 10 at the top of the market at the moment. That race coming up on Saturday, of course. We're going to concentrate on Friday in just a moment or two. Anything else on your mind, Pippin, before?
I'm slightly concerned again, re the fall of Ryan Hatch. We're just getting one or two nasty falls at this moment in time. I mean, it took a long time for the Injured Jockeys Fund to give us an update on his condition. And admittedly, you know, his family and everybody else need to be fully aware of that. His well-being, or in the case, not his well-being. But I just feel, you know, just lately we've had one or two nasty incidents that we can do without, really. And hopefully, you know, we can have a fairly trouble-free festive period for these jockeys. at the end of the day, they know what they're doing. They know what they're going to take on. But horrific falls like we've seen of late, we can certainly do without.
Yeah, I will entirely agree with that, and I'll echo what you say as well. Hopefully everyone is safe and sound over the Christmas period. Right, let's move on to Friday's action then. Pimmy's got three races prepared for us at Ascot and one at Uttoxeter as well for good measure, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Moving on to Ascot then. On Friday, the 120 is the first race that we look at. This is a Class 3 Novices Limited Handicap Chase. We've got seven of them to go to post here. Pimmy, we'll start with Back by Midnight, who arrives here in good form, was a winner at Sandown last time, and, well, to be fair, absolutely hosed up.
Well, he didn't half hose up, he dotted up, didn't he, Back at Midnight, the son of a Midnight legend, and he was a little bit keen early doors, to be fair. He made all the running and, again, stayed on really strongly to win unchallenged, basically. On that occasion, he raced off a mark of 107, and he's gone up from a mark of 107 to a mark of 115, and he quite rightly so, because he didn't just win, he absolutely dotted up, beating Gore's Island by 9 lengths. And for me, he's one of the few horses that actually comes into the race on the back of a real good run. You know, Dwawi Island, we haven't seen for 274 days. Champagne at Tara, I thought was disappointing last time out. Imperial Presence ran okay, but didn't wow me last time out. I like the option again. Another John Joe Neal runner. He was fourth last time out 20 days ago. Mr. Springsprong pulled up last time out. But again, that's a Brian Ellison runner that makes the journey to Ascot. You wouldn't leave it out. And again, he weakened very quickly at Market Raisin last time out of a 2-mile 5. Drops back to 2 miles, may well suit him. And again, I don't think they've travelled to Ascot for the good of the health there, the Ellison Yard. So he might be your slant to try and take the favourite on with. But I think Back by Midnight is the one they've all got to beat.
Back by Midnight then, the selection for Mr. Pimlott in the 120 at Ascot. Moving on to the 155 at Ascot next. This is the Supreme Trial Novices Hurdle. It was the Kennel Gate. A grade 2 over just short of 2 miles. Six of them to go to post here, Pimmy. And it looks quite a warm renewal. Some nice horses have won this in the past. Likes of Yanworth, Lammy Surge, Irving and Puffin Billy, all previous winners. And we could see another useful one in here by the looks of it.
Yeah, I mean, that roll of honour is pretty good. Yanworth, Lammy Surge, Irvine, you know, all decent horses in their own right. And again, I think it's an interesting one here. Nicky Henderson is represented by Thomas Campbell. And to be fair, Thomas Campbell's done absolutely nothing wrong in his short career. He's won here at Ascot last time out when beating Crick Rock. And again, that was fairly strong form for me, and I think he's certainly a major player tomorrow afternoon, Thomas Campbell. Lochdurg Spirit, possibly from the same stable as Nicky Henderson's, could be the one that they've all got to beat, though, to be fair. He was a winner at Kempton over 2 miles last time out when he beat Coupe de Panique by 3.5 lengths, and again, that was a solid performance. He jumped really well on that occasion and made most of the running, so he's certainly a player, Lochdurg Spirit. And I think the other one that you might want to bring into the equation is Capitan from the Paul Nichols Yard. I mean, he was beaten last time out by Tahira, but I thought that was a good enough run. And again, there could be a little bit more to come for him. So a good renewal of the Supreme Trial Novices Hurdle. But I'm going to take a chance that Thomas Campbell can make it 4 out of 4.
You got a man who certainly knows how to win the race on board as well. Barry Geraghty's won 4 of the last 5 renewals of this race.
That's right. So, again, he knows what it's all about. And, well, he's riding in a very confident form at the moment.
On to the 2.30 next, the Noel Novices Chase, a grade 2 over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. There's only 4 of them in the lineup here, unfortunately, but some nice horses in there. Politolog was considered quite highly as a hurdler. Goes chasing this time around, Pim. He got off the mark over fences last time as well. Is he the one to beat here?
Very, very competitive race, this. There's only 4 of them. You can nearly make a case for all 4, to be fair. As you say, Politolog won last time out. That was at Haydock Park. Over 2 miles, 6 furlongs, so just slightly short of trip tomorrow, but that shouldn't inconvenience him. A readied winner there, and again, you know, he's certainly going to be a player on what we've seen in the past. Rock the Casbah, well, he ran well enough in defeat, I thought, at Cheltenham behind 007. Since then, to be fair, 007 disappointed at Doncaster at the weekend. Now, whether he underachieved there or not, I'm not too sure, but yeah, Rock the Casbah is certainly an interesting player. But again, was beaten fair and square at Cheltenham last time out. Royal Vacation, well, he got his head in front at Lingfield when beating Delgani Demon by 3.5 lengths. I think that form will need to be upgraded a little bit if he's going to be a player tomorrow. And then you've got Captain Chaos, who, again, interesting sort. He went to Engheim last time out to race. That was back in March. He loved the ground. The softer the ground, the better it will be for Captain Chaos. And he's got some reasonable form in the book. He carries the familiar colours of Mike and Eileen Newbold. And he definitely, again, is an interesting recruit to the chasing game tomorrow. So, very, very competitive race. Pin me down. I'm going to go with the top one, Politologue.
Politologue then for Pimmy there. Paul Nichols has won the last two renewals of the race as well. Petty Zig and Le Mercury, recent winners for the trainer, the champion trainer. So Politologue is his one target out of this race and the selection for Chris Pimlott. 2.55 at Utoxeter is where we finish. And this one is a Class 4 handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. And we've got a field of 11 of them to go to post for this one, Pimmy. And this is quite an open race, to be fair.
Oh, this is tricky. You've left the best till last, that is for sure. Oh, blimey. Wide open, wouldn't really know where to start. A lot of these horses have been running well without actually getting into that winner's enclosure. You know, you can say that about Another Frontier has been great form. Alf de Door has been in great form. Carry On Sydney ran well enough in defeat last time out. Bride and Boy's been knocking on it without the door quite opening. Mail of Star ran well enough in defeat last time out. So there's plenty in there with a profile to say we can be competitive, but whether we're going to be good enough to get our head in front remains to be seen. And again, we've got plenty of fairly inexperienced riders in there in the shape of Zach Baker claiming 7 for Nigel Twist and Derry. Harrison Bezick riding for his boss Oliver Sherwood on Carry On Sydney. Lucy Garner, who's had a winner this afternoon at Exeter, rides Dr. Luck here. So again, interesting jockeys are taking part in this very competitive race. Pin me down if you have to. Not confident. Holbrook Park.
Holbrook Park, then, one of the more experienced jockeys on board there as well, isn't there?
Well, that was basically just what was guiding me that way along, to be perfectly honest. Didn't have a real strong opinion because it's very competitive. But the great thing is we've got 11 declared. We can back each way. If you're looking for a bit of value, it should be out there.
Holbrook Park, then, for Pimmy in the 2.55 at Utoxeter. As usual, Pimmy, let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go. Just relay your selections for us, then.
Yeah, well, God blimey. 1.20 tomorrow, Ascot. The Stella Artois. I hope they're chilled. The selection there is going to be back by midnight. In the competitive Supreme Trial Novices Hurdle, the selection is Thomas Campbell for hopefully Barry Garrity winning it for the fifth time in the last 6 years. The very competitive Grade 2 Novices Chase hopefully goes to Politologue for Paul Nichols and Sam Twister Davies. In an ultra-competitive handicap hurdle at Utoxeter at 2.55, the selection is Holbrook Park.
Superb. Thank you very much, Pimmy. For the listeners as well, all those races will be high five races apart from the
Novice Chase.
The Noel Novices Chase, because not enough runners. But Utoxeter and Ascot, six runners or more, you've got high five on all of them.
Two meetings. Oh, blimey, give me five, buddy. And, well, all I can say to the listeners out there, have a very happy and peaceful Christmas. I will be back with you Boxing Day.
Same to yourself, Pimmy. Have a good Christmas and enjoy it on Friday as well.
Can't wait.
There you go. The thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11.55am. Make sure you set those alarm clocks. Gordon Brown, Stephen Powell and Craig Forsyth will be the team in the studio. Day one of two good days at Ascot. We've got Utoxeter as well over the obstacles. And it's Newcastle in the afternoon on the all-weather and continuing the all-weather theme throughout the evening, Wolverhampton and Dundalk. Money back second if you finish runner-up to the favourite, the SP favourite at Wolverhampton and Dundalk in the evening as well. So plenty to go out there. Do tune in and good luck if you're having a bet. Enjoy Friday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.